Amen. Please be seated. All right. Well, I don't know about you, but as I've been going through the stores and receiving things on email from my kids' school and all different things, you know, there's a lot of different stories that come across at Christmas time, aren't there? The main one we hear about at this time of the year is who? Santa, right? Saint Nick, but we know that there's a great story, the best story ever told, and it's his story. And so today we're going to look a little bit about that and the history behind it. So let's turn to Luke 2, starting in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place where Cornelius was governor of Syria. Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Guys, for the census, Joseph and Mary, they had to go to Bethlehem. Joseph was a descendant of David. And remember, the promises that were told were old promises of how Jesus was going to come, of how the Messiah was going to come. And so he was a descendant of David, born in Bethlehem. And picture yourself as Mary and Joseph as they're traveling in for this census. Remember, there's no book on what to expect when you're expecting to give birth to the Messiah. There's what do you do? I mean, imagine the fear. First of all, what? They're not married. They're not married. And back in that day, man, that meant something, and it was powerful. And everywhere they looked, as they're coming back home, word spreads, right? Word spreads. And there's a lot of different emotions that they're feeling. How scared they must have been. They were just being engaged and not married. Continues on. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Boy, imagine. The angel shows up and says this good, wonderful news. Imagine being from a people who have waited and waited and waited to hear that the Messiah has come, the one they've been waiting for. Guys, we're celebrating a story that's more than 2,000 years old. Roughly 2,000 years ago is when Jesus was born. But it's his story, it's God's story, and it's one story. I'm excited as we get ready to read through the Bible for next year. Next year at this time, guess what we'll be doing? We'll be hearing maybe some testimonies. It'd be great, wouldn't it be, to hear some testimonies from some of the people who have spent a year reading through the Bible, hearing that one story that has come forth. But it goes even further than the 2,000 years. In Isaiah 7:14, that's about 700 years before the time of Christ. It says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." Guys, Emmanuel, God with us. That's what it means. God with us. 700 years before Christ, we hear of this news of Emmanuel is coming. about 700 years also is Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come from for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. This is 700 years before Christ. And you know, we sing that song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem. But that's because it's this prophecy being fulfilled. And it's talking about from the beginning, from the beginnings from of eternity. It says, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. This is an old story. This is one story that's been told about God and who he is and how he's provided a way for his people to honor him and love each other. And when we blew it in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, and we'll even go back to that right now because that's another place where we hear how much time in the past we don't know exactly. There's a lot of opinions on that. But in Genesis 3:15, it says this. This is Satan talking. This is God talking to Satan and the woman. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. You see, after they took the fruit, God is talking to the serpent and Eve, and the seed of the serpent is going to bruise the seed of the woman. But it also says the seed of the woman is going to crush the seed of the serpent. And this is prophecy that's talked about if Jesus coming, Emmanuel, God with us. And the thing that's really amazing about this is, and between your seed and her seed. This is the only place in the Bible where you will see the seed come from the woman and not the man. It's the only place it's talked about. Her seed. Why? Because there's no man's seed here. It's a virgin birth. This is God's story. And it's so exciting because this is the only place we see it in the Word of God. Because the seed always comes from the man. But not this time. Not this time. It's God. It's God. Guys, my hope and prayer is that this, you know, for many of you, you've been a Christian many years. And one of the challenges with living something out for many years is what can happen to some of that knowledge? What can happen to our lives as we hear the same stories over and over? We can get used to them, can't we? We can kind of feel very comfortable with those stories of old. As imagine this. God loved us so much, and we had no way to be right with God. There was no possible way for us, mankind, men and women, to be right with God. Why? Because sin. And God is holy, and he loves us so much that he made a way for us to be with him. Our sin had to be punished. It had to be dealt with because God and sin can't be together. And God loves us so much that he had one story in mind. He gave us right relationship with each other and right relationship with him. He gave us so many wonderful things and a rule. And we found that one rule, Adam and Eve, and we broke it. But really, the eating of the fruit from Adam and Eve, it's not about eating some fruit. It's about people saying to God, I want to do things my way. I want to be the one in my life to decide what's right and what's wrong. I'm going to be in charge of my life. That's what the story of Adam and Eve is about. It's about us saying to God, no, I'm going to put you on, you know what? I'm about me. And life is about me. And as we've lived those lives, and so many of us have had years where we've spent living the life as though we are the ones that get to make the rules and the decisions. But it's good news, isn't it, when we come to the realization that when we've messed everything up, when we've blown it time and time again, when we've come to the consequence of our sin, God has allowed the consequences to happen. He doesn't remove the consequences of the sin, but he reaches in as we say, God, I can't do anything. I need you now. God reaches in and he says, I've provided a way through my son, Jesus Christ. He died for your sins so that death could be conquered and sin could be conquered so that we can be together, that a holy God can be with an unholy people because we can be made holy by what he's done for us, that we have a new identity in Christ Jesus. And I want to let you know, if there's anybody here who knows about God, who knows about Jesus Christ, but doesn't know him personally, my prayer is that today would be the day of salvation for you. That there would be that God would reveal himself and he'd speak to you in a way that you would see his blessing, see his goodness, see his joy, see his love. Luke 2, verse 13 says, suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angel had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Guys, imagine this. First of all, who are the shepherds? Are the shepherds back in that day, are they the ones that everybody looks to as the wise men of the time? They're the everyday guys. They're the blue-collar workers. They're the guys that get the job done. They're the guys that are working hard, that are often overlooked. And I think it's interesting that Jesus comes through a virgin birth of yes, people in the right line and from the right town and from all those things, all those prophecies being fulfilled. But he comes humbly. And who he reveals himself to spread the news, is the everyday people. Guess what, guys? We're everyday people. We're everyday people. And we've got a world out there that need to know the truth about who Jesus is. What's the response of these guys as they hear the good news? What's the first thing they want to do? Go see for themselves, and then what? And share the news. Yep. See for themselves, share the news. All right? So what do they see as they go in and see they see this child in these very humble circumstances. But they know from God that he is the Messiah, God with us. As many of you know, Julie and I were gone last weekend just at a beautiful service for Julie's dad. And one of the things that really struck me about that time, there were so many people in the lives of Julie's dad who knew the Lord, that were meeting with him once a week, that were spending time with him, that were sharing the gospel with him, that I don't know where Julie's dad stood with the Lord, but I do know this. He had the loved ones sharing the good news. And what was happening at the service? What were we hearing? The gospel was being given by people who had spent time with it. There were so many people there. It was a beautiful time. It was a beautiful time. And it was so encouraging. And at one point we looked up and who's there but Glenn and Catherine, and surprised us. And they were a little ways away and made a trip up to spend time was just another reminder. It was just another reminder. Guys, we're in this together. We're in this together. And as God has given us a purpose, as God has given us a new identity, I want to encourage you. As we look at God's story, as we see this beautiful story of Jesus making a way where there was no way, providing a way for the people to be with him and still be have his holiness and intact, that would not be a story that we get too comfortable with. My prayer is that the truth of these words, the truth of Scripture itself, that the Word of God would shock us again. Do you remember, for those of you who have been believers for a while, do you remember what it was like when you first came to the Lord? Do you remember that? Do you remember going from being broken and having no hope to having hope and being whole and not really getting it? Why? Not understanding what was going on fully, but knowing that you'd been searching for something and that the search was over. The journey was still going, but the search for what was truth was over because you not only understood it in your head, you got it in your soul. And there was a wholeness where there wasn't before. And my hope and prayer is that every single one of us who knows Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior would be reminded of the joy of Jesus Christ, of the joy of the gospel. That's what we celebrate. Do you know what the story's about? Do you know it's his story? Guys, it's good news. And the joy of the Lord changes our lives. It also changes our focus. And I want to encourage each one here. Guys, as this Christmas, as we're going through all the challenges that are before us, I'm not going to lie to you, for many, Christmas is a very difficult time. What do you see? Who do you see at Christmas time? Family and close friends. Are those relationships always in perfect working order? No. I've had times where some of those relationships were in really hurting. Praise God, right now, they're growing, being healed, being blessed, coming back together. Praise God for that. But each one of us are in a different place. And it's a time for us to say, you know what, because I've been changed by Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, I'm not just going to go about it. It's not about making things nice for people and having nice presents and having a nice time. There's a mission. There's a mission that we're on. And it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor, love your family, love the people in your spheres of influence with that love of Christ. And to share with them the truth of the gospel. And to do it in a way that's not condemning, not badgering, not rude, but building up and sharing the truth, telling your story in that little piece of your story in the midst of his story and where God met you. And that's the greatest way to share the gospel with others, is share how God met you. Each one of you who knows Jesus Christ personally, you have a testimony. You have a testimony that can be given, that can bless this Christmas. Let's look for opportunities to share our story in the midst of his story. All right? Because just like the shepherds, just like the everyday people that we are, we're not everyday, ordinary people anymore. The Word of God says, as we've come to Christ, not because of what we've done, but because who he is in us, we are now saints. Saints. Do you feel like a saint? Did you wake up this morning and say, hey, Mr. Saint in the mirror? Nice. That's what I like to hear. We're saints. That means we are made new. Our sin, when God sees us, he doesn't see Matthew. Oh my goodness. What happened, Matthew? What does he see? He sees redeemed Matthew. He sees transformed Matthew because of what he's done in me, but because of what he's done in us. And I tell you, being with Julie's dad's service and my mom's with family and friends for my mom passing away, it's been a lot going on for us, but as we've been with all this family and friends, one of the things that's a reminder is when you go back and you're back with family, guess what? My family doesn't see Pastor Matthew. When I go home, I'm the youngest of three boys. I'm the little brother. We have different roles in different places, don't we? And yet, we come with the story of what Christ has done in our lives. Look to bring people in this Christmas. Look to share his story. Look to be the shepherds. What do shepherds do? They show the way to the sheep. They show the way. They lead the way. We follow our great shepherd. But God has called us to be shepherds of the people, to lead people into the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Let's take that seriously. I got to tell you, both for sharing the truth of the gospel with others, and then also just sharing the love of God with other believers. Yes, I know they're going to be embarrassed when I say this because they don't want the focus, but when Glenn and Catherine showed up at the service, do you know what that meant to me and Julie? Do you know what it meant to have people care enough about you to do that kind of a thing? To have the love of Christ so change them that they reach out in love to you? It meant a lot. It meant a lot. And praise God for that. And that's what we get to be to each other, guys. We get to be the hands and feet of Christ. We get to go and love others in the truth of the Word of God. And praise God for that. So this Christmas, let's have our hearts right. Let's have our hearts right. Let's remember it's his story. And to believers, to non-believers that come into our spheres of influence, into our moments, let's take the time and share the love of God with them and enjoy them and live out the love of Christ. Because praise God, we are so blessed, you guys. We are so blessed. Do you know how blessed you are? You are blessed. And God wants you to give that blessing and share that blessing with others. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this amazing church family. Lord, how loving they are, how giving of their time, of their efforts, of their talents, of their treasures, of their hearts, of their souls. Lord, I thank you for their love for the people in this church family and for their love of the people in this community. Lord, we and the nearby communities, Lord. Lord, we lift up all the churches in the surrounding areas, Lord. We ask that as your word goes out this week and next week about the gospel, about who you are and what you've done, Lord, that your word would ring true and that many would be saved. Lord, we know that the Seattle area, the greater Seattle area, is a very unchurched, ungodly area. And Lord, it's people who need Jesus. And so, Father, we just pray that your word would go out and that this would be a year of salvation for many in this community. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you that you have a story, and it's his story, your story, and that you include us in your story. So, Father, be with each of us. Be with each shepherd here. Lord, I pray that as we come this Christmas and we go and see the child and reminded of seeing the child one more time, that it would inspire us and encourage us to go and share the good news with those in our lives, Lord. Make us a blessing to many for your glory. May you be seen. May we become small and you become great. Lord, I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for this family right here. What a blessing. What a blessing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.